earth, sky.
I really do think that we are blessed with a magnificent and miraculous world ocean on this planet, but we are also stressing it in ways that we are not even close to bringing under control.
You're listening to marine ecologist Carl Safina of the Blue Ocean Institute, and this is Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science on World Oceans Day, June 8, 2010. Dr. Safina spoke on the state of Earth's oceans, including the devastating oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico, with Earth Sky's Jorge Salazar.
Dr. Safina, welcome to Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science. Now, what are your thoughts this year on World Oceans Day, a day designated by the UN as one to honor the world's oceans and the role oceans play in our lives?
Well, I mean, I think that we need it more than once a year because we're not doing a good enough job at keeping the oceans in mind. The ocean makes life possible on planet Earth. And yet a lot of people don't really think that they're very connected to the ocean. And, of course, we have this terrible situation in the Gulf of Mexico now, which is just taking a lot of attention and a lot of emotion as we watch it unfold and our hearts go out to the people down there.
What are your thoughts on this oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico?
The oil blowout in the Gulf of Mexico is certainly a catastrophe, maybe the biggest single environmental catastrophe in our country's history, unless you count the failure of energy policy that has really brought it about. But it's really having a drastic effect on the lives and potential livelihoods of thousands of people in the Gulf. It also affects endangered sea turtles that go from the open Atlantic Ocean into the Gulf to breed, endangered bluefin tuna that go from the open Atlantic Ocean into the Gulf to breed, and millions of birds that winter in the Gulf or come flying across the Gulf from South America on their way to northern breeding areas, all the way up the East Coast, all the way across Canada, even as far as Greenland. So it's not just a regional problem for the Gulf or the people in the Gulf. It affects all of us.
What is there to learn about this experience so far, and what do you think we're going to find out possibly in the coming months?
I think what there is to learn about this is that this was inevitable, that there have been other oil blowouts. We know that this happens, and we insisted on being unprepared as a nation. You can see by the response that the lack of government oversight, the spirit of deregulation, the coziness between the government and the industries that the government is supposed to protect us from by making sure that they do everything really safely and that they know what to do if something goes wrong, that the disintegration of all of this has wide-ranging effects. The oil company itself was unprepared. They don't have equipment to deal with it. They don't have plans. They really just act as though they never thought that after punching 30,000 holes into the seafloor of the Gulf of Mexico looking for oil, that oil might start coming out of one of those holes. And I think it's just staggering that we have this situation that we have right now. And it shows that the price of gasoline and the price of oil in no way reflect the cost and the risks of this form of energy and this technology, that we've allowed the oil companies to keep the profits and leave us with the risks. And now society at large is paying a gigantic price.
And looking beyond the shores of America and the waters of America and thinking about our global ocean, I wanted to ask about your thoughts on the state of Earth's oceans.
Well, the oceans are in a lot of trouble, and I want to say I don't think that the oceans are dying, really. It's not as if every place is a dead zone. I think the oceans are really teeming with a lot more life than many people ever get to see and ever realize. But the amount of life compared to the amount of life that existed 50 years ago is far less today. Overfishing has really reduced the populations of fish almost everywhere in the world. The U.S. is actually one of the best countries in the world in that regard, because after going through the same problems and depleting most of our fish, we at least now have new laws requiring an end to overfishing and mandatory rebuilding of fish populations. There's nothing like that in most of the world. Australia is pretty good. New Zealand is pretty good. A lot of the world, there really is essentially no control on fishing, and it has made an enormous, enormous difference. Sea turtle populations and seabird populations are down a lot in many places. Whale populations remain depressed in many places, but are recovering in some, especially, again, around the waters of the United States. And we have these other enormous problems caused by climate change, by waters getting warmer, the ice systems of the North and South melting, the coral systems of the tropics suffering in excess heat, and in many cases, large reef tracts actually dying off. And then the changes of pH that are causing the ocean to become more toward the acidic part of the pH scale, with really serious consequences that are already beginning for corals and other organisms like clams and oysters that need to grow and maintain shells, as well as different kinds of plankton that also suffer as the pH declines. So I really do think that we are blessed with a magnificent and miraculous world ocean on this planet, but we are also stressing it in ways that we are not even close to bringing under control.
You've been listening to Carl Safina, president of the Blue Ocean Institute at Stony Brook University in New York. One way to help the oceans is to use a guide to eating seafood, and the Blue Ocean Institute has one. To find it, visit our website. I'm Deborah Bird. Earth Sky is a clear voice for science.
We're at earthsky.org.